Hey, welcome to the Christ Fellowship Podcast. This is Derek. Glad you're tuning in with us today. Today we are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. So I want you to grab your Bible, grab your notes as we dive into how hope is the foundation of resiliency.
Man, let's pray together. Lord, thank you that today we gather in the presence of a living God. We thank you that we can gather in this room. We thank you that we can gather with those online today, and we can set our eyes on the one who overcame the grave, the one who is alive and among us. And in this room today, your presence is here. So we honor you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And as we open up this beautiful scriptures that you've given us, Lord, would you lead us into truth? Would you give us a revelation, a fresh revelation of the power of the resurrection, how that impacts not only eternity, but today. Why don't you just take a moment and just thank the Lord for the fact that we can gather today. Thank him for his victory, that he offers us his victory. Just thank the Lord right now, just to yourself, all over the room. Just lift up a gratitude, prayer of thanksgiving. The Lord loves to hear his people pray. He loves when we set our eyes on him. That's what we're doing in singing. It's worship. We're setting our eyes, our heart, our affection on God. So Lord, we recognize you today, and we come under your authority. May we see you more clearly because we gathered together and opened up the scriptures and invited your spirit in. We thank you. We thank you for allowing us to be called your sons and daughters. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. 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 As you're trying to find a seat, if you're an extrovert, say hi to the person to your right. If you're an introvert, just look for something in your pocket. Don't worry about anything. Just don't make eye contact with anybody. You'll be all right. We got some extra seats in the back, some standing room, man. So good to see you guys this morning. If you have a seat beside you, would you just raise your hand? Jonathan, do you need any more seats, man? If you have a seat beside you, we got a couple more seats down here, a couple more people walking around real quick. We'll get you seated. Hey, on behalf of Christ Fellowship, let me just welcome you. Man, happy Easter, happy Resurrection Sunday. My name is Derek, and it is my privilege and honor to be part of this community, to be the lead pastor here. A huge honor, a joy of mine. And we say this often, but I know we've got a lot of guests here. We, as a church, we are learning how to be a people that love the presence of God above everything else. That we really believe. Yeah, well, I think we can clap for that, right? Yeah, we want to be a people that recognize the presence of God. And so my job as a pastor, honestly, my chief job, hopefully, is to help our community recognize when God is speaking, to recognize when he's moving, and then to respond rightly. And so we as a people, we're longing to be a people that recognize him here today, that he is enough. And so at this church, we try to be simple. Like, we're not about a pastor with some, you know, big necessary personality or some podium here or a platform or a band or a building or a vision. We are a people of his presence. And we're learning how to do that in community, but then as we leave, as we go and we scatter out in the tri-cities, we want to be a people that are aware of him everywhere we go and that we would partner with him. And so if you're a guest today, or you've been here for 30, 40 years, we welcome you and we're praying that you would encounter his presence, the living God, here today. So it's good to have you with us. Today, obviously, we're going to talk about the resurrection. I'm going to start reading in Luke chapter 24. If you have your Bible, you can grab it. I'm also going to have it on the screens here behind me. So we're going to pick up in the story that we're celebrating today. And up until this point, Jesus had his Last Supper. He was taken prisoner. He was tried. He was put on trial. They screamed out, crucify him. He was put on a cross. They took him off the cross. They put him in a tomb, and his body was there, lifeless, in the tomb. And then Luke 24 comes. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed, because it's not exactly what they thought they were getting into. They were like, wow, what in the world happened about this? They were thinking about this. What in the world happened? Behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. Have you ever thought about that? Like, we read this story so fast. Like, what about this? Like, what about, like, maybe these men look like Jamie Winship this morning. Come on, somebody say, right? Yeah. Obviously, I did not get the memo that this was a funeral. I came in my normal attire, but it's a celebration. I read the book. Jamie didn't, I guess. Anyhow, two men are standing with dazzling apparel. Like, think about that. Like, what does that mean? And as they were frightened, they were scared when they saw these two, they bowed their faces to the ground, and the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? Why are you looking for somebody who's alive in a place where only dead people are? That's what they're saying. He is not here, but is risen. Remember, he told them, how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day rise. And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now, who was it that was telling them this? It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. Now, don't you love the first people that ever encountered the resurrection Jesus was a group of women? Can we get an amen, ladies? And how many of you know, and this is really great, the first proclamation of the good news that Jesus is alive, the gospel, was preached by some women. Whoa, whoa. And this is why I love this, because in this time, women were not seen as equal as men. They were more like assets to own versus real people. And how many of you know God does not see women like that? God sees us all, whether you're black, you're white, whether you're rich, you're poor, whether you're male or female, whether you're Jew or Gentile, guess what? God sees us the same. Right here, we see God emphatically pointing this out. So women carry this message of the gospel, the good news that Jesus is alive. But the men, as we sometimes do, they said these words seemed to them as an idle tale, like this is a fairy tale. There's no way this is true. And they did not believe them. But Peter, we're gonna talk about Peter today. Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went away marveling at what had happened. This is the story of the resurrection. And all across the world today, people are gathered in various types of buildings, and men and women are preaching the resurrected King. Thousands of years we've been talking about the resurrection. Thousands of years we've been talking about it. And isn't it crazy that every time we open this up and look at Jesus, there's something new to discover? So many things that we could look at today, so many things, but here's where I really want to laser in today. This is my heart today, and it's this truth that the resurrection resurrects our hope. This is the building block today, the start of this. The resurrection of Jesus, it resurrects our hope. We read this in 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living what? Yeah, thank you back in the back. A living what? Hope. We've been born again into what? Into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so I want to remind us that resurrection, that word, that resurrection Sunday, it infers that something came before the resurrection. And so Jesus, he lived life. Alive, fully alive, walking with humanity. And then he was killed, no life. And it was in his death, in his body that was buried in a tomb, lifeless, nothing going on in there, that the Spirit of God came in and breathed in. And guess what? Death led to resurrection. And so some of us just need to hear this in your life. You've got some things that are dead. And I'm telling you, that's good news, because resurrection can only come from that which is dead. You don't need to be revived and resurrected if it's not dead. So Jesus shows us that he loves to step into things that are dead and bring new life. And today I want to talk about how this resurrection from death to life, it also impacts our hope. Because many of us, and if we look back and take a step back and look at our nation, if we pan out a little wider and look at the world, I think hope is a little hard to come by right now for a lot of people. It's not a commodity. It's like a precious metal, actually, right now, where people are looking for hope. Is there hope? The economy, I'm scared about this politically, racially. All these things happen in the world, wars upon wars. And as a people, we've navigated a lot of hard things, pandemic and all kinds of things. And as a people, I think many of us have lost hope in some way. And if we're being honest today, I think probably all of us in some area of our life, we've allowed hope to die. In some area of our life, we had some hope. We had hope for my marriage to work out. We had hope for my kids to respond and come back to God. We had hope that I would get the job or that I would be able to do this and that. We have these hopes. And if we're honest today, this room is filled with people that some of us and many of us are lacking hope in some area of our life. And so today, I want to talk to you about how God, I believe, through the resurrection of Christ, wants to resurrect our hope. He wants to give us a living hope. And really, the series that I'm kicking off today is about resiliency, resilience. So over the next few weeks, I'm gonna be unpacking what does it look like for humanity? What's it look like for you and me to become more and more resilient? Resilient. That word resilient, it means this. It means the ability to navigate and recover after a difficult or adverse experience. How many think as a humanity, as a people, as a nation, let's just say that as a nation, we could use some more resiliency, right? Right? To navigate hard things. How do we do this? How do we bounce back? And so today I want to talk about resiliency because one of the things Jesus was teaching his disciples when he had his friends around him, he was teaching them for 3 years, is he was teaching them how to be resilient. He told them things like, listen, guys, there's gonna be trouble. There's gonna be hard things that happen. I want you to navigate it, and I want you to be resilient. And so I just wanna be honest. Listen, I'm not a used car salesman. Like, I don't think I could do that well. I know we probably have some of those here in the audience. This isn't an indictment on you, but I think a lot of times pastors wanna try to sell something that's just not true. And we tell you, if you follow Jesus, listen, your life is gonna be perfect. And your bank account, it's somehow just gonna be full, and you're never gonna get sick, and guess what? Your spouse is never get on your nerves, and your kids are gonna come to church, and they're gonna like it. Some of you are like, this morning, that's not true, right? All right, I get it, like, we get it. Like, and so we try to tell people this because, honestly, we want people to follow Jesus. We want them so bad, and I just want you to know Jesus never sold something that wasn't true. He says, listen, you wanna find life, follow me. But when you follow me, listen, there's gonna be some hard things. There's gonna be some challenges. There's gonna be persecution. There's gonna be letdown. There's gonna be death. There's gonna be sickness. Get it through your system. There's gonna be hard things. I want you to not run away from it. I actually want you to walk through it, and I want you to be resilient in the process. And so over the next few weeks, I wanna talk about how do we become more resilient parents? How do we become more resilient business owners and educators and friends and followers of Jesus? How do we become more resilient? And here's where I want to tie these two together, as I believe that hope is the foundation for being a resilient person. We can't expect to navigate hard things and to go through hard things and to get back and to recover if there's nothing to hope for. And the good news is for all of us is that God, when he made humanity, he made us very resilient. All of us, all of humanity, extremely resilient. And let me just give you a couple examples. If you know a woman who has given birth, you know a resilient person. Can I get an amen, ladies, right? Like, it's crazy to me that a woman will conceive a baby, will carry that baby for 9 months in her belly. Heels hitting organs, hands hitting lungs, all these things. And then that woman will give birth to a baby. Amazing, thank you women in the house today that have given birth, amazing. And then a few months later, they're like, you know what? I think we should have another one. Like, that was pretty hard, that was adverse, that was difficult. Guess what? I want another one, can we have another one? Oh, I got the babies, right? All these things, right? Isn't that amazing? Aren't women so resilient? Oh my goodness, it's incredible. But you know what else is resilient? Our bodies. Just think about how God created our bodies. When our skin experiences an adverse thing. So we get cut, right? We get a cut in our skin. Our bodies immediately go into action. What is our body doing? It's going after that negative event, that cut. And what's it doing? It is looking to recover. So guess what our bodies are? Our bodies are made resilient. We're made to heal. Isn't that amazing? God made you and I to be resilient. And the good news is, if you find yourself today like, I don't feel resilient, I don't have a lot of hope, the good news is we can actually learn to be more resilient. And my hope over the next few weeks that we would unpack the scriptures and then we would see the truth that we would be a more resilient community in the next month than we are today. that we would offer resiliency to a world that is looking for hope. That's my prayer over the next few weeks. But we can learn how to be resilient. And so in my preparation, I was reminded a few years ago, I shared this on a Sunday morning. There was a study that I read. It was done in the 1950s at Johns Hopkins. And let me just put a disclaimer on my message. No animals were hurt in the preparation of this message, okay? So don't write me an email. This is not my study. This is like 70 years ago. So don't, you know, I'm just the messenger, right? So there was a study that was done, and the researchers, they gathered 34 wild rats. Some of you all got the heebie-jeebies. You got the rats, and here's what they did. They knew that wild rats were very good swimmers, right? They were very good swimmers. And so here's what the test was that they did, not Derek, they did. They would take the rats one by one and they would put them in a bucket of water and they would start the timer. And they would watch that rat swim around. And they expected this to last a long time. But what they found is one after another, these wild rats, after about 2 or 3 minutes, they would give up and they would drown. They would document the time. But once again, I know it's not Derek, it's the test, right? It's what they're doing. So they would one after another. And what they found 34 times, they found the average rat could only swim between 2 and 3 minutes long in a bucket of water. And they were like, man, that's surprising. We know how well rats in the wild can swim. That doesn't seem right. And so here's what we're gonna do. Let's get another 34 rats and do the same thing. So they get 34 more rats. Each one they put in a bucket one at a time. And this time, as they get close to that 2 or 3 minute mark, they're watching the rat. It's struggling a little bit. It's about ready to drown. This is what they do. They would swoop in. They would grab the rat out of the water. Everybody cheer. Yeah. They grab the rat out of the water. They would dry it off. Do a little mouth CPR. I don't know what they would do, but they would like get the thing recovered, put a little oxygen mask. I don't know what they did, but they got it back to normal. Just a few minutes though, they'd get it back to normal. And guess what they do? You were saved, back in the bucket you go. Put the rat back in the bucket, click, start the timer. 1 minute, 2 minutes in, still swimming. 1 hour in, still swimming. 2 hours, still swimming. 1 day, still swimming. 2 days, still swimming. 60 hours on average, this second set of rats swam in a bucket of water. 2 to 3 minutes, 60 hours. Huge difference. And as the researchers are baffled, they're like, what in the world? Here's the only thing they could come up with to give reason for it, is that the rats in the first test, they had no hope. They were, in their words, they were hopeless, and so they just gave up. How many of us have been there? How many of us know people like that? No hope, just give up. Just succumb to it. It is what it is. Oh, we love saying that. It is what it is, unless God's involved. It is what it is, maybe not. There's another option. So the first ones died, and they said the second ones, because they were on the verge of drowning and they were saved, they had this hope that maybe I'll get saved, and it gave them a resiliency to continue to push on, to swim, not just a few minutes longer, but 60 hours long. Incredible study. In the 50s, this came out. Now, if that's true in rats, their hypothesis was, we believe this is true in humans too. That when a human being has no hope, they really cease to really live. They may be alive. We know what that's like. We can be alive but not live. Anybody know what I'm talking about today? Without hope, it's easy to just... And so we have humans. And honestly, looking at the disciples, we see this case study lived out really well. You see, a guy like Peter, like I love Peter because he was so zealous. Like he's the only one other than Jesus that we know of to walk on water. He's the only one that was willing to get out of the boat. I love that about him. But he also said some really stupid things. Like he said some things that are like, Peter, seriously? Like what are you saying? Like how did you miss that? I relate very well to Peter. High moments, low moments. You can ask my wife, like great moments. Are you even a person? Like, are you a man? Like, what are, like, a, and so Peter is that kind of guy, and on it goes. And so the night that Jesus was betrayed, he tells them what's going on, and Peter's like, no, I'm gonna stay with you. I'm gonna stay with you, Jesus. I won't leave you. And Jesus is like, actually, Peter, listen, buddy, you're gonna deny me. And Peter's like, no, I will never do that. We say this all, we think oftentimes way higher of ourselves than we really are. He says, I will never leave you. And Jesus is like, actually, Peter, three times before that rooster back there that's really annoying, before he crows, you're gonna deny me. And Peter's like, no way, I won't do it. Then we know the story. Jesus goes to the garden. He's praying. Then the soldiers come. They take Jesus in. Peter's watching all this. And now Peter's getting a little scared. His resiliency is waffling a little bit. His hope is now like, oh, I thought we were taking this thing and now my leader's taken hostage. And so he begins to kind of watch from a distance and he watches all the things that happened, the trial, the beating of Jesus. And he's sitting and somebody comes up and says, hey, aren't you with Jesus? And he's like, no. Next person, a little bit later. Are you one of the guys that's with Jesus? And he's like, no. And then a little girl comes up to him. Can you imagine? A little girl comes up and says, aren't you with Jesus? And he's like, no. And you know, he says no. And then he curses to prove that he's not with Jesus. It wasn't a resilient moment. Adversity, difficulty, persecution, not for me today. He bowed out. Jesus is then killed and he watches from a distance. I can just see Peter kind of sitting on the side, looking around a corner, maybe behind a bush, a tree, just watching Jesus, his friend, be killed. He watched Jesus say, my Father, why have you forsaken me? Into your hands I commit my spirit. They take him down off the cross. They then walk him to the tomb and put him in the tomb. And honestly, Peter has no hope. He's lost hope. He's not resilient. He has no hope. And then like we read at the beginning, he gets word from the ladies. Oh, wait, he's not in the tomb. He's not there. And Peter's like, oh my goodness, I need to go see. I want to go see for myself. He runs there and he sees, oh my goodness, he's not there. This whole thing is actually happening. What in the world? And then a little bit later in the afternoon, he sees Jesus with his own eyes. He sees his scars in his hand, his feet, his side. He sees him and something happens to Peter. There's a hope that rises up in Peter. The same Peter that denied Christ just about 7 weeks later gets up in front of the very people that he's scared of and he preaches Jesus boldly, proclaims Jesus in the open public square. He proclaims Jesus. He's there in front of, he's like, Jesus is the way. He's the one who crucified, but also the one who raised. He is now filled with power. He's resilient. A little bit later in the book of Acts, Peter is put in prison. Another adverse situation. Guess what he does this time? He doesn't say, I don't know him. He says, actually, I know him. Put me in prison. See what happens. Resiliency is born in Peter. Why? Because he has a hope now. And ultimately, Peter goes throughout his life, and then his life ends in a very peculiar way. His life ends just like the life of Jesus. On a cross, hung upside down because he wanted to be hung differently than Jesus. Talk about resiliency all the way into death. Now, if we look at the ones that Jesus led and the one he taught, the disciples, and we look at how resilient they were from a group of ragamuffin guys that were like, maybe they get it, maybe they don't. I don't know. To let's look at how each one of them finished. Let's look at this list here. Peter, crucified upside down. Andrew, crucified in Greece. James, killed by a sword. John died of old age after being boiled alive and enslaved. Philip crucified in Egypt. Bartholomew crucified, or they're not really quite sure. There's a little bit of discrepancy there on the text in the history. It said he was either crucified or skinned alive and then beheaded in India. killed with a spear, Thomas, Matthew, martyred by stabbing in Ethiopia, James, beaten, stoned, and killed, Thaddeus, crucified, Simon the Canaanite, crucified after preaching in what is now modern day England. Happy Easter. I think we can all agree these men were pretty resilient, weren't they? Man, not only difficulty, imprisonment, enslavement, but they faced death eye to eye. And there was something about it. They said, no, it's okay. I'm gonna take the next step. I'm gonna trust the Lord. I don't know about you, but that is resiliency to me at like the top. And we'd look at these men and we're like, did they win? I would ask you, do you feel like their life was a success? I think so. Resiliency, and what we see in them is that their hope, each one of these men, their hope in Christ empowered them to take the next step in the face of adversity. They knew Jesus' life. They knew Jesus' death. And they knew Jesus in the resurrection, and it gave them this hope. And so today I want to close with three ways the resurrection gives us hope in our lives, not just for eternal, but today. So number one, the resurrection hope that we have is that life overcomes death. I don't know if you heard me. Life overcomes death. This is what Jesus said, John 11. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? It's a great question for us. Do we believe this? Even if we die, even with these men who were dying, did they have a hope that went beyond this life? Yes, they did. It's the only way they could endure this. They had a hope that went beyond the grave, that life really does overcome death. And I love how God does this. Like, he so intimately knows how he made us. He knows our greatest fears. And if we survey the room, one of the greatest fears that are in this room is the fear of death. Many of us are fearful of it. Many of us think about it often. We think about it for our kids. And Jesus is like, I see that, and I'm not gonna condemn you for it. I'm not gonna mock you for it. This is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go into your greatest fear, the depth of it. I'm actually gonna die. I'm gonna be dead in the grave, in the tomb, and then from that place, I'm gonna show you, you have nothing to fear because I've already been there and I have the keys to the grave. That's why it says that death, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your victory? Jesus Christ has swallowed it up. So he has taken away our fear of death because he said, hey, watch me, Derek, I'm gonna go first. You don't have to be afraid. You can actually follow me and you're gonna find that even in death, there's life on the other side. And so what would be different in your life if we actually believe Jesus' words here, that there actually is life on the other side of death? How would we live? How would we take risk? How would we dream and hope? What would be different if we actually believe the words that Jesus says, do you believe me? There's life even through death. The second thing that we see that offers us resurrection hope is in 1 Peter 5:10. We see that restoration overcomes brokenness. Restoration overcomes brokenness. And after you have suffered a little while, I love that, the suffering has an end date. Some of you just need to hear that. The suffering that you have has an expiration date on it. I pray that it's in this life. We can see the fruit of that, yes, but let me tell you, there is one day your suffering will no longer be. He says, even though you suffer for a little while, the God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself, he will do this. He will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. The resurrection of Jesus, it shows us that restoration overcomes brokenness. That one day, all the religious systems and the political systems that are broken, they're gonna be restored. Doesn't that sound like an amazing thing? That one day, we know the scripture well, it says that one day, every wrong is gonna be righted. How many of you want your wrongs to be righted? Oh my goodness, I do. I don't know about you, I'll raise my hand if nobody else wants to. I want my wrongs to be righted. He says one day, every wrong, say every wrong will be made right. Oh, what a day. And then he says that every tear will be wiped away. No more sickness, no more pain, no more separation. He will make it all right. He will restore all things. And although we have a future tense, how many of you know also God wants to work in the present tense, that he also wants to take our brokenness today and he wants to offer restoration in so many ways. And even just in our little community, there's so many ways we've seen that. We've seen marriages restored. Oh my goodness. Brokenness, ugly, terrible. And we've seen God work through two individuals that humble themselves before the Lord and come and say, I want to work forward. I want to move forward. How many know that's the restoration? It's beautiful. We've seen kids come back to their families. We've seen people with issues in their body. We've seen them miraculously healed in the name of Jesus. Restoration from brokenness. It's who God is. He restores all things. So the resurrection, it gives us this hope that he will restore all things. And the third thing and final thing here is that the resurrection gives us hope that connection will overcome separation. That connection overcomes separation. I know it's quoted a lot, but the quote from Martin Luther King Jr., where he says, hatred can't drive out hate. Only love can do that. It's so true. And it's actually deeply biblical. Like you and I, like we look at Adam and Eve and we're like, man, if they just would have got it right, if they wouldn't have separated from what God said to them and about who God is and about who they are, if they just would have got it right, like we would not be in this mess. And I'm just gonna say, yes, we would, because you are walking the earth. I'm walking the earth. We can easily look at Adam and Eve and then, why did you guys jack it up? And they're like, oh my goodness, I jacked it up already this morning. Anybody else like me? Like we've all been there. We've done that. We've all separated from who God is. Man, I don't know about you, but I believed some wrong things about God. Sometimes when I'm in the fire, I'm in the storm, I want to believe wrongly about God, that he's not good, that he's not actually for me. And so all of us, man, at some point we separated from who the truth is of who God is. And all of us, I guarantee this because I'm a human just like you, we've all separated from the truth of who God says we are. I am as an individual. Separateness. We're trying to separate from what God says, separate from the truth of God. And so God doesn't come and resolve the separation with more separation. Just like hatred can't drive out hate, that's never the answer. Never the answer. You need to bring in something that's different. You bring in love to where there's hate. And that's how you deal with hate. You know how you deal with separation? Not with more separation. You bring it through connection. This is why God said, I see the separateness. I see it. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna draw even closer. I'm gonna send my son, Emmanuel, God with us. I'm gonna go be with them. I'm gonna be connected with them. And even on the cross, like this is so amazing. Like I think one of the lowest point of humanity is when we, as human beings, our human race, we killed love himself. Truth drove the nails into his hand, put him up on a cross, and we watched him die, put a spear to make sure he's dead. You and I, human beings, we did that. How many of you know that's a low point for human beings when we killed the Savior of the world? And it was in that moment, this is what God does. He doesn't say, you're separating, I'm gonna separate from you. You know what he does? No, he says, you've separated, but this is what I wanna do. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Where we try to separate, God's like, no, connection. Connection. And this is what we see in the resurrection, that connection overcomes sin. I wanna read one more passage to you today to close up. We're gonna sing one song in a moment to wrap up our Resurrection Sunday, but we're talking about connection overcoming separation. Listen to the words that we read in Romans chapter 8. I'm gonna start in verse 31. Just listen to these words. They're so profound. And if we got these today, oh my goodness, we would be set free. He says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Somebody say amen to that. Like if God is for you, the economy can be against you. It's okay. Individuals can be against you. If God is for you, nothing is really against you. If God is for you, he says, he who did not spare his son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Do you know that's your inheritance? That we get all things through Christ? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? Wow. It is God who justifies. I'm so glad it's not Derek that justifies. It's not some pastor on a stage that justifies. It's God who justifies. Verse 34, who is to condemn? Who's condemning you today? Is the voice of your voice loud and you're condemning you? Because it's not the voice of God. It says right here, who's to condemn you? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who is raised, who's at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. He's praying for us. Look at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? It's a great question. Who shall separate us from the love of God and Christ? Shall tribulation, hard things, difficult things, shall distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, wars, economy, social media, crap, all this stuff. Like, what should separate us? List could go on and on. What should separate us? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him. You know what that means? We are resilient because we have a hope that goes beyond all of these things that are navigating on this earth. We have a hope. It's the one who gives us the hope, who loves us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What's separating you from God today? It's not God. See, the beauty and the power of the cross is that connection overcomes separation. Jesus said, I open up the way. I've opened up the way for us to be one with God again. No more excuses. I can lay out all my junk, all the reasons why I should tell God, you shouldn't love me, why you shouldn't receive me. He's like, yep, I already got that in the book. I took care of that one. You mean, God, what about this? Yep, I took care of that on the cross. Well, what about I did? Derek, what can separate you? Nothing. I've showed you my love once and for all. What can separate you? And so here's what I want to do this morning. I've been talking for a while. We're going to sing some more in just a second. I want to give us a little space for us to process. I know sometimes we get in a gathering like this and it's just overload, lots of things going on. And so I just want us to give a moment, maybe the only kind of free time you'll have in the day, to just sit still and meditate on the power of the resurrection and the hope that he offers. So why don't you just close your eyes just for a moment. Just really just sit in this moment and just think about the moment that these ladies and Peter, when they realized, oh my goodness, Jesus is alive, and they marveled at it. They were in awe and wonder at it. Can we just for a moment just think about the reality that Jesus was dead and is now alive? And in the resurrection, Jesus has buried so many treasures. And the one we've leaned into today is hope. And so today, I want you to ask the Lord to fill you with his hope that's rooted in the fact that he's alive and not dead. And I know many people in the room, like you have a relationship with Jesus. And you've been walking with him and you know at some measure his hope. But I'm telling you today, he wants to give you even more hope. He wants to bring some things that are dead in your life, the hopes that you've given up on. I believe he wants to bring those back to the surface. And so if you're needing hope in a certain area, if you're like, man, I've given up hope, I'm hopeless in this area, why don't you just take a moment and just you ask the Lord directly, Lord, would you give me hope again for my marriage? Lord, will you restore my hope in my children and what they're navigating? Would you give me hope for you fill in the blank? Why don't you just take a moment? And for others in the room, there's us that you're like, man, I don't have that hope that you're talking about today in Christ. that you've never received the love of God, the forgiveness of God, you've never experienced the abundant life of laying your life down so that Jesus could raise it back up. And I just want to give you honor, space, and what the Lord may be doing in the room and how he's been speaking to you, for you just to tell the Lord the truth. God, I want to follow you. I want life. Forgive me. There's no special prayer to pray. It's just a prayer of your heart. Lord, I want to be alive. I want to have hope. Would you forgive me of all the lies I believe, all the things that I've done? I want to receive your hope. It's so simple. It's so easy. Just take a moment, if that's you, and just tell the Lord the truth and receive his grace and his mercy and his love. We thank you that it's a free gift that none of us can boast. We receive from you today a hope, this eternal hope that life does overcome death, this reality that you will restore all things, that restoration overcomes brokenness, and that connection ultimately and always has overcome separation. So Lord, lead us into truth. Even as we sing this song, would you stir up hope and faith in our community? And I pray that as we leave today, Lord, in just a moment, that we would go in the power of God and the hope of God and this peace of God.